Accession number 30133, Reel 2.
This is Mr. Mason, Reel 2. Right. So we've got you as far as Kent now.
Yes, West Morling. And there we had some German prison of war there. But I didn't spend a long time in Westmorling. From there I went to Cardington in Bedfordshire, where we did not a lot of training again.
So again, this was training connected with the things you've been doing previously?
No, just marching, learning to march.
You must have been very good at it by then. Do you remember anything about the German POWs?
Yes. We didn't have a lot to do with them because they were in a compound on their own. So we just occasionally met them in station headquarters or something like that.
So you weren't doing guards duty?
No.
Mm-hmm. And did they speak English to you? Or?
Some did. Mm-hmm.
It must have been very close to the end of the war by then.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did everybody sort of realise that things were coming to a close?
Well, no, because we still have the Far East going. Mm-hmm. And at one stage I thought they were going to send us out to the Far East. Yeah.
So you were there sort of between VE Day and VJ Day?
Yeah.
What did you do for VE Day then? Can you remember?
Well, VE Day we went to the American base and we got flares and we were shooting flares up. One gave me a flare gun. Yeah. Anyway, a sergeant took it up from me. And then VJ, we went into Norwich. Mm-hmm.
Mm. So when it comes to the end of the war, you're actually based, were you in Kent or?
No, the end of the war we were at Pulham.
So you were still in Norfolk?
Mm.
How did VJ Day feel? Was it very different from VE Day?
No, we had they gave us a coach and we drove into Norwich and that was it. People were celebrating, but most of the celebration was in London and we couldn't get to London.
And so what do you think at that stage? Did you think, oh well, it's all over, I'm going home now?
Well, no. People used to ask us, when are you going home, you know, because the war is finished. And but they waited until they got a lot of Jamaicans. And then they put us on a troop ship. But then you could sign on for an extent for the regular forces. And a lot of people did. They went on rehabilitation course, different jobs. Some took law degrees and all sorts, went to university.
And that's when you made the decision you were going to stay in the forces?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide that?
Well, I don't know, sort of got used to the life then, you know. And most of my friends, they had decided to sign on.
And did you apply for special training at that point?
Yes, I went up to Kinloss for a short while, and then I was sent down to Herefordshire, mm-hmm. where I did a course in supply, 6 months course. And then from there I went to Rawton in Lancashire as a supplier.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say supplier, I know you think everybody knows what that's about, but I guess a lot of people wouldn't have the faintest idea.
It's working with the equipment. You, the stores have all spares for aircraft, clothing, boots, shoes, a lot. You had to know, you had to be able to issue fuel, the vehicles, and all sorts, which is quite involved. I mean, in the end, it all went on computer, but before that, you had to write the vouchers out for everything. You know.
So you had a huge filing system.
Oh, yes. Yes. And for each item, there was a sheet called a 1640, which every time you will receive, say, 50-something or whatever, you put that in. And then as it was issued out, you had to take that off again. And then you put demands onto the maintenance unit to replenish your stock. But then eventually it all was done on computer, you know, in modern Air Force days. But during the war, it was all handwritten.
Mm-hmm. That must have been very time intensive.
Yes, but you got used to it. I mean, if you lost a piece of uniform or anything like that, they had a form 664B which you signed, and that was taken out of your pay, you know.
So you didn't lose anything.
Well, when I joined up, we were getting 3 shillings a day. You used to get 21 shillings, you know, on pay parade. And then there was a shilling to have your hair cut, which you had to pay for. But then we got on all right with the money then, you know, three bob a day. You know. Of course, some people made allotment for their parents in Jamaica. So
you became a supply specialist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at this stage, we've got you in Hereford, as far as I remember.
Yes. The training was at Hereford. Then I was posted to Wharton.
That's the Wharton base in Lancashire. And I got here in 1949, is that right?
Yes.
Late 1940s.
Yes. Near Blackpool. We used to go into Blackpool.
What did you think of Blackpool?
Well, we thought it was great, you know, because it was near the sea, and we had all these holiday people up there. It was between Blackpool and Preston. We used to either go into Preston or Blackpool.
Now, for the benefit of the researchers listening to this, I should say that I know Preston very well, so can I ask you what it was like in those days?
Well, you had the ballroom that and the fish and chips place. There were stacks of those, but there wasn't a great many of the places you used to go, the games and things, because most of them were shut down during the winter season. But we used to light the rock and things like that.
So Blackpool, you had the seaside, then you could get the train into Preston, I guess.
Oh yes, I think it used to cost 9 pence to go in.
How long did it take, can you remember?
Not long, because we were just in the middle between Blackpool and Preston. I remember once I went into Preston, and we missed the bus, and we walked from Preston to the camp. We got in just in time for breakfast Sunday morning.
Well, this is quite flat, so you didn't have any hills or anything like that in between.
Yeah, got in just for breakfast Sunday morning.
They were busy commercial towns in those days, because Preston still had the docks running, didn't they?
Yes. But then they were building aircraft at Wharton there.
And Wharton is now quite a large technical base. How was it in those days?
Well, they had these hangars, and we had, I think, three sites for the RAF. And it was a maintenance unit again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what would be your main duties?
Again, it was just we had bedding, blankets, mattresses. I can remember once the station commander was Wing Commander Patton, and he used to wear rubber sole shoes, and he used to walk around and try to catch skivers. And in this big hangar with all the blankets, we had one man on lookout, and all the rest of us was up on top of the mattresses sleeping. And he walked in, and he said, "Where are the men?" He said, "Oh, they've gone up to site so and so." So he went, and his wife, she used to phone him if she saw any airmen skiving, and she used to tell him where they were, and he would go.
Did you ever get caught?
No. I had a racial incident with the station commander, and he got punished for that, because I was on duty one night in the stores, and he called a parade for the whole station. And as I was on duty, I was down the section, and the flight sergeant came down and said, "The station commander wants everybody on parade." And he cycled down, and I had to walk up to the parade ground. And when I got to the parade ground, the parade was called to attention, and I turned back off because I didn't want to just walk in when they were on parade. And he shouted, "Bring that nigger back." And then I went back on parade, and all the rest of this, the whole station heard all this. And I went on leave. No, I put a redress in with my station, my commander, and he said, "No, you don't want to put that in," and he tore it up. So I wrote to an MP about this, and then I went on leave down to London, the Union Jack Club. And when I got there from Preston, the person behind it, I said, "Oh, they've been on the phone for you. They said you've got to return back to your unit immediately." I said, "Well, can I stop the night?" They said, "No, you've got to return back immediately." And then when I went back, they said, "Oh, the air officer is coming to interview you about your redress of grievance." And then I was in SHQ, and the station commander saw me. He said, "Oh, I understand you don't like being called a nigger." So I said, I didn't answer, you know. And he got in the stage, broke his pen, and then this, my flight commander, said, he put his redress of grievance in. He said, "What did you do with it?" I said, "I tore it up." And he tore into this officer, you know, in front of me. Anyway, they said, "The air officer is coming to interview you. The about a day after, and then I went in. He went in and he said his piece, and then he called me and I said my piece, and he said, the air officer said to me, the station commander is not doing a good job on the station, and he will be punished for what he has done. So I said, well, what punishment would he be getting? He said, oh, under Queen's regulation, I can't tell you that. Well, I said, well, I'd like to be posted from this unit. He said, yes, that would be agreed. And what punishment he had, he lost command of his of the station, and he got lost 3 years seniority, because he used to go on kit parade and he'd say to the people, oh, I used to rear pigs when I was a civilian, and some of the you are worse than the pigs I used to wear, you know. You know, things like that. Really, it was out of order. Anyway, I went from there to.
Could I just ask what was his name?
Wing Commander Patton. Never forget that name. From there, I went to. Kinloss, Hereford.
Is it Staffordshire by then?
Hmm?
Staffordshire, Hednesford? Just before you went out to...
Yes. Then I went to... Yes, I got posted to Swanton... Not Swanton Mall. No. Yeah. And then I went overseas from there. Went to Aden.
Now, did you apply for that posting?
No, no. It you just out of the blue, you know, things have come from record that you're posting there.
So, what did you think when you had the news on that one? Was it exciting or was it a bit?
Well, I didn't know what to expect. In fact, we went by ship. We went by ship from. Now, where did we leave from? Must have been Bristol. Then we went on the name of the ship now. I know it got sunk out there, but it took 14 days again. We went through the canal, Red Sea.
Through the Suez Canal.
Mm-hmm. Red Sea. And then we went to Aden. And because he didn't want me to stop down there, the air officer, I was flown back up to Egypt.
So, can you remember his name?
No.
How did he word it? What exactly did he say?
No, well, the headquarters is in a high building, and I saw him with his hand like that, and then an officer came down and said, "Oh, the air officer doesn't think that you should be out here, because they're all the people out there are all black, and I was the first black person in the Air Force out there." So he didn't think that I should be there.
Which way was he looking at it? From your own security point of view? Or do you think it was something else?
Well, I don't know. Because we had a lot of that happen. When I went back the second time in Aden, if we went out in civilian clothing, the army used to... ask us for pass and things like that. I remember they had these buses that used to drive you down to the mall in the main street, and I went and I sat on the bus, and the drivers, they were Aidanese, and this flight lieutenant came on and he saw me sat down waiting. He said, to the driver. You were the driver. Who are you? So I didn't say anything. I just pulled my identity card out. And he was most apologetic. This is it. You see, if we went out in civvies, they couldn't tell the difference. And especially the army, they were, you know.
For the first time you went to Aden, you weren't there very long at all.
No.
How long was it? A week?
Yes, I think it was about a week because I was working down at the port.
And again, that was supply duties, was it?
Well, supply duty involves quite a vast area because when I was down at the port, we used to check stuff coming off the ship, and then you could get working in petrol, working on petrol, working on clothing stores, working in PASCO, which is all the paperwork, anything really. That is why the course was 6 months. Because he had so much to learn.
And this was sort of how to handle certain goods as
well. Yes, yeah. Yeah. Explosive as well. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And packing. I had to learn how to pack things. Things like gas cylinders and all that.
So what special techniques did they teach you?
Well, with me, it was fuels. Because normally, as a supplier, when you're posted to a station, you don't know what job you're going to get. But being, as I was trained, especially in fuel, I knew exactly where they were going to put me.
You were only there for a week, though, doing this. And then you said that you were sent to Egypt.
Egypt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereabouts was that?
I went... El Hamra first, then I went to Kasfrit, and then I went up to Kibrit, which is the last station out in the wilds. We're facing the Red Sea there, and then I went back down to Fayed.
What was Kibrit like then? Was it sort of, was it wild or was it?
Well, it was. Out of what the Egyptians used to do, they used to dig up the cables and sell it for. So they had to get piles and piles of sand on this, so that they were. We had transport aircraft there. But then they were transferred back down to Aden, which is more near the town. But Kibrit and Shilufa were really miles away, you know, just sand and more sand. We used to get sandstorm occasionally, and all the mess hall and things like that have got wire mesh. But the sand still would come into the mess hall, and so it was. Having drinks or soup, and there was sand in each, you know, and only gave us tin things when there's a sandstorm.
And how long did they tend to go on for? Would it be an hour at a time, or?
Well, quite a few hours. And they really don't have the sand, it just bites into you. I was out there when two soldiers got hung for murder. They murdered an Egyptian.
Do you remember their names?
No. But then, with all these lights and things, when I passed through the first time, I thought they were having a marvellous time, but really it was just the security lights. I thought, well, you see these things on the film, you know, the Far Eastern people belly dancing and things like that, you know. but it was just the security lights, because there were lights all over the place.
So what did you think of Egypt?
Well, I enjoyed my stay up there first, but when this thing started with the Egyptian cutting off all the food and everything, because they shot quite a few of the policemen, the Egyptian policemen, they had a big standoff in Ismailia, and then it wasn't so good after that. National service was still going on then, and there's some people, some national service men that had cleared the station. They were going to catch the plane the next day, and the service was extended another 6 months, so they start arriving again the next day, which didn't go down well. Yeah.
What were they like to work with? Because they were all basically conscripts, weren't they?
They were all right. I mean, had writers, all sorts of people there. Writers, actors, but they all had to do their national service, and medical people as well. But they got commissioned and they were medical officers. But quite a few well-known people did their national service.
So you never had any problems with national servicemen?
No. I used to feel awful when, you know, they were going and you had to do 2.5 years out there.
What was it like when they did cut the supplies off, though? Everything was cut off, or were you sourcing it from somewhere else?
No, we used to get things come in from places like Cyprus. Yeah. There's mostly things like beer, because they used to have this Stella beer that they used to supply the army. The army used to buy all that from them. And then when we get the word that beer would be in the Nafi tonight, and everybody will be down there. You only allow 2 bottles of beer. You know. This is after about 3 or 4 weeks. You know.
So in the meantime, what did you have to drink?
Nothing.
Water.
Yeah. And we had bed bugs in the bed and things like that. You know.
And were you sleeping in huts or?
No, we had billets, and we got our water from what they call the street water canal, and before it was came on the camp, you'd go down there and you see the street water canal be dead cheap in it and things like that. And then we had to get it purified, you know. But the name Sweetwater Canal, you know, you should see it. Yeah. Some people went. In fact, now what is his name? Lawrence Harvey was just. They made a film out there with. It was called Cairo Road, about drugs, and I got his autograph out there. Eric Portman was the film star. He was the policeman, and Lawrence Harvey was his lieutenant, you know, and they did all this filming out there, and we got on quite well with them. Yeah.
So did any of you manage to become extras in the film?
No. But we visit the set, you know, and we've got a lot of photographs and things like that. You know.
Well, that must have been quite interesting on its own, going to visit a film set in those days. That must have been very different from how they do it now.
Oh, yeah, yes. Egypt. Sand and more sand.
And bed bugs.
And they used to have to, because they used to be in the spring of the bed, so you had to set fire to the whole spring, you know, get them out. And the Egyptian, they did the laundry, and the way they iron the sheets and things, they either fill their mouth with water and then they spit their water on there while they iron it.
And what sort of food did you get while you were out there? You were saying it was mostly tinned.
Well, this was when they had the sandstorm, but they used to say that some of the meat was camel, but I mean, I don't know, but this is what they used to. But we had a lot that came in from Nafi, you know, the supply ship that used to bring it in. But all the fresh fruit and things like that I used to get from the Egyptian, when they cut that off, we didn't get any more of that.
So they couldn't fly in any fresh fruit?
Well, they couldn't fly enough in for, you know, because we had thousands people out there.
So if they were managing it, if I've got this right, were they managing with a sort of air bridge with Cyprus? They were flying your supplies in?
Well, you see, they could bring it in by sea from Cyprus. Mm-hmm. We used to go to Cyprus on holiday. They had special trips there. Just take a matter of hours, you know, there from port side.
And this was sort of late 40s, early 50s, this was?
Yeah, 49, 50. Came back in 52 from Egypt, and then I was posted to Stafford.
And what were you doing at Stafford?
Stafford, I got promoted to corporal, and I worked on parachute. They had parachute. They used to do the packing and all that on the parachute.
And how long were you there for?
I left there for Germany in 53, 7th of December.
And that's a good place to go on to the next reel, in that case, because we're right at the end of reel two. So.